called The Power Of, and we're concluding that series today with the message, The Power Of Gratitude. Somebody said, The Power Of Gratitude. Our principal text for today's message comes from Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. We'll read that in your hearing in just a moment. Our principal text for our series, The Power Of, is Acts 1, verses 7 and 8. Here's what Acts says. It says, "And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority.'" Boy, there's so much, listen to me, y'all. There's so much truth in that one verse. There's so much truth in that one verse. I was just telling somebody this week, I said, you don't know what our problem is? We don't know how to mind our business. That's our problem. We keep trying to get into God's business and worrying about how God's doing what he's doing and why he's doing it this way. The scripture, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. So what we do when we question what God is doing, we're literally questioning his authority. Next verse. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Somebody say amen. So we told you that the Holy Spirit came to give us power. And a lot of times we don't recognize that he didn't just come to give us a little bit of power. He came to empower our entire lives. That there is no aspect of your life that God is not interested in. There is no aspect of your life that God doesn't want to empower. Okay? So we told you, what did we talk about? We talked about the power of grace. Talked about the power of giving. Power of gathering. So we talked about how there's power when we come together, right? And then today we're going to talk about the power of gratitude. Let's look at Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. It reads as follows, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." First thing, let the peace of Christ, what does rule mean? Take over. Who's on the throne? This is the problem we have. We have a throne problem. Because we want to be on the throne. I'm in charge. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." And be thankful. Next verse. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with" what? Thankfulness in your hearts to God. Next. "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." So three times the word thanks or thankful is in this one little passage, right? And so what's being made clear here is that we need to be grateful. Now, let me say something to you. It is my personal opinion that the most immature, the most immature form of gratitude as it concerns your gratitude towards God is those who are grateful for what he's done. Here's how I know. Because if you turn on the Grammys, everybody on the Grammys get up to get their award. What do they say? You mean to tell me that was God who had you do that song with cuss word in every verse, every line? That was God. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that it doesn't take a whole lot of relationship with him to be grateful for what he does. Guess what? Sinners can praise him for what he does. I thank God to see another day. I thank God for my job. I thank God for my car. I thank God for my house. Here's the one you don't ever hear. I thank God for my husband. But see, we can rattle off the list of stuff. We can rattle off the list of stuff. But do we have a real relationship with him where we're grateful not for what he does? We're not even grateful for what he's doing or has done. We're just grateful for who he is. See, when you're grateful for who he is, you come to this understanding that if he never does another thing, he's already done too much. I don't deserve anything he's done. So if he decides that today's the last day he's doing anything for Everett Spencer, I'm good. Because, you know, there's a place where you can get to in Christ where you don't want to know what it's like to spend a day without him. There's a place you can get to in Christ where his voice becomes so important to you that you don't want to go through a day and not hear him. There's a place you can get to in Christ where he becomes so real to you that you don't want to go through a day and not feel his presence. And once you've had those experiences, you become grateful just for who he is. Now, I tell you all the time, I gave my life to Jesus. I was 13 years old. I preached the first sermon I ever preached. I was 15 years old. But it took me until I was 32 years old to really meet Jesus. It took me until I was 32 years old. This is how I know that most people sitting in our churches, yes, they're saved. Yes, they have prayed the believer's prayer. Yes, they come to Bible study once or twice a year. Yes, they give to the poor once or twice a year. Yes, they try to love people once or twice a month, but they don't really know Jesus. And what I'm submitting to you is that you can be in church on a pew and still not know Jesus. And here's how you know they don't know him. Because they haven't learned how to express gratitude just for him being who he is. Point number one. Gratitude helps us focus on what really matters. Gratitude helps us focus on what really matters. You ever heard the expression, have to learn to dismiss distractions? You ever heard that? That if you're going to focus, you have to learn to dismiss distractions. That you have to kind of learn, what's important and what's not important. Well, gratitude helps us focus on what really matters. Because when we're really grateful, we become these people who only want to focus on the good in our environment. Are you hearing me? That when you really live a life of gratitude. Now, I've got a sister, my older sister, and she's one of these people that, you know, she's going to find a way to thank Jesus for everything. Well, I was on my way home and my foot just fell off. But you know, God is so good because I didn't fall. That's how she'll tell that story. She's going to thank God for everything. Well, you know, I fell, but thank God I didn't fall on the concrete. I fell on the grass. That's my sister. She's going to be grateful for everything. And I love that about her because she's learned that I just got to focus on what really matters. And all that matters in her world is Jesus. Now, just like the rest of us, she got issues. Okay? But for the most part, her whole world, no matter how bad the news is, she turns her face right away to thanking God for what he's going to do or what he has done in that situation. Are you hearing me? Let's look at the scripture. Psalm 95, verses 2 and 3. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Next. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. So now based on this, what really matters? Coming before our great God and our great King with joyful thanksgiving, that's what really matters. And none of the other stuff matters. See, this is how the devil distracts you. So-and-so ain't speaking to me no more. I don't know why they stopped speaking. I said good morning to them, and they didn't speak to me. I don't know why they stopped speaking to me to give you more time to talk to Jesus. That's how you look at that. So-and-so stopped speaking to me. I guess I can go spend more time with Jesus now. See, but what makes us give people this kind of a thought, so much thought and so much authority in our lives that a person can get us off our square that easily? I had a chief one time when I was working in the prison, and the chief, he used to like to try to pick on me, single me out, you know. And so one day I'm standing in the office and I'm doing my job, and he says to another captain, he says, "You know what we should do?" And she said, "What's that?" He said, "We should have a cookout for all of the captains and lieutenants. And let's invite them and their families." He said, "But invite everybody but Spencer." Now, he said it so I could hear it. He said, "Invite everybody but Spencer." To which I replied, "What makes you think I would want to eat with you anyway?" Because I'm letting him know you don't affect my world. We work together. We don't live together. You hear what I'm saying? I don't have to take you home with me. When I clock out here, I don't think about you again. Next verse. Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, anxiety is a byproduct of worry. People, I got anxiety. What you worried about? I was praying for a woman one time. True story. I was praying for a woman one time. We're standing in church. She's standing up there in front of me. And I said, "Sweetheart, what do you need prayer for?" And the whole time she's talking, she's just wringing her hands. I said, "You need prayer to get delivered from worry." I said, "What are you so worried about?" But see, the Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing. Guess what? None of this stuff should make us anxious. None of this stuff should make us worry. None of this stuff should make us panic. He said, but in prayer, with prayer and supplication, right? Put that back up, please. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Your prayers are more effective when they're prayers of thanksgiving. You should start every prayer with thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving is not a day. Thanksgiving is not about a turkey, and it's not about some pilgrims stealing land. It's not about maize or corn. No, Thanksgiving is about, yeah, it's not about sweet potato pie and pumpkin pie, even though I love both of them. My favorite is apple pie. Praise Jesus. You can't say apple pie without saying praise Jesus. Thanksgiving is not a day. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. But here's what we do. We spend most of our time looking at what we don't have and being frustrated instead of looking at who we do have and being satisfied. Learning to be content. Paul said, I've learned to be contented with such things as I have. Are you hearing me? See, it's very American to judge your success about stuff. You know, I had a friend, he owned a car lot, and his name was Mark. And Mark and I would joke all the time. So I go by his car lot one day, and Mark had bought a new boat. And so I said, dude, that's a nice boat. He said, yeah, I'm trying to get it ready now, Spencer. He said, but you ought to see it, man. And he starts telling me all about the boat. Then he pulls out some pictures to show me some more stuff about the boat. And he's just talking about the boat. And I said, Mark, do you really need more toys? And this is what he said. He said, isn't that how we get to heaven? The one with the most toys goes to heaven first? I said, this dude is silly. No, he was joking, but he said, the one who has the most toys gets to heaven first. I was like, man, this dude. But see, he was joking, but believe it or not, a part of that has seeped into the American consciousness, even into the American Christian consciousness. So that Christ is not enough to satisfy me. I need Christ and a Bentley. I need Christ and a mansion. Are you hearing me? Some of y'all got to get your mansion down here because you don't have one in the sky. I'm going to move on. Next. Gratitude reminds us who's really in control. What we have not figured out, my former pastor used to say it this way, Taylor, he said, God put us in charge, but he's in control. Go back to Genesis. He puts man, the Bible says he placed man eastward in the garden and told him, tend it, take care of it, you know, cultivate it. But he never put man in control of anything. He places us in charge. Here in this church, God has placed me in charge. But he didn't tell me control anything. That's why when people say silly stuff, I just look at them and go, oh, okay, let's see how that works. Because it ain't my job to control them. And after all this teaching I do, you still want to do something stupid? I got to let you go ahead and try it just to see. I want to know if it works too. And since I'm smart enough not to do it, I might as well learn from your experiment. Y'all be surprised some of the stuff people tell me. I'll be like, I just look at them like, okay. They say, but You don't have an opinion. You didn't ask for an opinion. Y'all got to understand something. Now, if I think it's going to, you know, I pastor the same way I parent. You know, my daughter sitting here, she'll tell you. Her and her brother came to me and said they were going to do something stupid. If I didn't think it was going to kill them, go ahead. Let me know how that works out. Yeah, because I'm... Carol be like, you really going to let them do that? They ain't going to die. They fine. Yeah, I guarantee you they'll never ask me if they can do it again. I only got to answer this question one time. Because, see, the difference between being in charge and being in control is that when somebody's trying to be in control, they want to control every aspect of a thing. They don't just want to control their part. There's no such thing as controlling your part. You know, that's what I was telling somebody last night. We were talking about, you know, these lockdowns. And I said, I saw a meme that made a whole lot of sense. It was a picture of a famous person, and he was kind of like scarring his face up. And the caption said, if lockdowns work, why do we need another one? But then the second line said, same picture, if lockdowns don't work, why are we doing another one? So it don't matter whether they work or not. Why are we going through this again? I'll tell you why. It's about control. That's all it is. It's about control. How can we control the lives of people? And here's the thing. They're trying to control your life while telling you they're protecting you. I'm doing this for your good. The worst whooping I ever got. My parents believed in whoopings, okay? I know now they say it's child abuse. My child doesn't learn anything from a whooping. Yeah, that's a lie. Because I learned what not to say to my daddy from a whooping. My daddy came in the room, took that belt off, and said these words. I really don't want to do this. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Me with my dumb self, I said, well, I don't want you to hurt yourself. Let me have the belt and I'll whoop you. Yeah, that didn't go well. That didn't go well. Now dad's like 76 and he forgets all these torturous things he did. He's like, I wasn't that bad. I didn't do that kind of stuff. I said, old man, you just trying to get into heaven. Stop it. Next. Here's this. Look at this. This is Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song, I shall thank him. I'm talking about knowing who's in control. There's too much scripture that tells me about the what it means to have God in control of things. I don't understand why Christians are still fighting with this. What's our next point? Oh, another scripture. Okay, this is a good one. Psalm 136, 1 through 5. Watch this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is. To him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness is. To him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting. See, David could have saved some time. He could have just said, no matter what you call him, his loving kindness is everlasting. If you're talking about the God that I'm talking about, what separates him from all others, is that his loving kindness is everlasting. And it's because that his loving kindness is everlasting, I don't mind surrendering control to him. I don't understand this thing that we have, but we're constantly fighting God for who's going to be in control. I don't understand it because here's the thing. He knows what's best for me. Better than I do. I know. You don't believe that because you, Lord, can we do this my way this time? Remember the last time we did it your way, right? Well, but that time I wasn't really on my A game. I got it together now, Lord. Okay, we're going to do it your way. 2 years later and a prison stay. Next. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. I'm not only established in him, I'm being built up in him. How do you know you're being built up in him? You should be overflowing with gratitude. The mature person finds a way to be grateful for whatever situation they're in. I don't have to like the situation. I just have to be grateful, knowing that God's going to teach me something that he needs me to know in that particular time in my life. Next. Gratitude keeps us from complaining. Now, before I get to the scriptures on this and elaborate on this, I want to do this as a little science project. See, because I believe that the Bible asks the question, it says, can out of the same well come bitter and sweet water? Can out of the same well come bitter and sweet water? And then it goes on to say, can out of the same vessel come blessing and cursing? So it's almost impossible. You'd almost have to be twisted to the point of being reprobate to be able to really complain and give thanks to the Lord. One has to cancel out the other. Are you hearing me? So now, because we're Americans and we're human beings, I want you to think of the thing that bugs you the most. Think of the thing that bugs you the most, the thing that you know you would normally complain about. I don't care if it's something your wife does, your husband does, something the kid does, something that happens on your job, whatever. Think about it right now. I'm going to give you about 10 seconds. I want y'all to get it. Really think about it. All right. Now, I want you to read this scripture out loud. Next. Psalm 69:30. On three. One, two, three. I will praise. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Kind of hard to complain about that thing you were thinking about after you say that, isn't it? I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. I can't stand brother so-and-so. Get on my last nerve. I had that nerve reserved for my kids, and here he come. Can't do that. It just doesn't work. Watch, the next one's even better. Next. Think about your problem. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Watch this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Next. For the Lord is, the Lord is, the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Hard to read that and still complain about stuff. You mean he's faithful to all generations? That means that he hasn't forgotten about me. That means that even though I think he hasn't forgotten about me, he's faithful to all generations. Are you hearing me? Next. Gratitude stops us from complaining. Here's the New Testament scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18. Rejoice sometimes. Rejoice when you feel like it. Rejoice when you feel good. Rejoice when you're strong. Rejoice always. Next. Pray without ceasing. Next. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, But this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So now, if I'm giving thanks and everything, what I got to complain about? It's hard to really give thanks if you're complaining. Yeah, see, this is when you know the economy's really good. Because you got that one person on your job, you tell them what to do, they don't like you telling them what to do, so they say to you, I was looking for a job when I got this one. When the economy's tough, you don't hear none of that. when jobs are slim, whatever you say, boss, I got it. But when there's options, and this is the thing with the church. Church has too many options. We have too many things that we're allowing to share the throne with God. And so we get into complaining. I don't understand, Lord. You gave so-and-so a new car. I would like to have a new car, too. Fix your credit. That's how God talks to me. Lord, I understand why you gave them a new house and you won't give me a new house. You won't clean the one I got you in now. Next. Gratitude reminds us where our blessings come from. Reminds us where our blessings come from. Far too often, not only do we not see that we're blessed, but we forget you didn't create none of this. You didn't make none of this happen. I know you driving your fine car and living in your fine house, but there's a fine God who gave you the ability to do all that. Are you hearing me? Scripture. James 1:17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. It's all from the man. Why do we, Cordray, as human beings, like taking credit for God's hard work? Well, they say, good artists borrow, great artists steal. So I guess we're all great artists. Because we love to talk about what we have done. And then here's how the deeply spiritual people brag. What we have done through the power of the Lord. What I'm trying to get you to see is that without God, none of this is possible. Without God, you can't. Listen, you okay? If you really want to know what it's like to think you really got it going on, you know, just to really think you got it going on and you really, I got the job I want and I'm living the way I want and I'm balling out and people respect me because I'm this and I'm that. And let God, all God's got to do is go like this. Let's see how you do. If your health ain't right, you can't buy health. Y'all know that, right? You can't buy health, huh? No matter how many dollars you got, you can't buy health. You can't buy strength. You can't buy good bones. No. And so God sits there and goes, oh, so, you know, there's a man in the Bible by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar walked out on the balcony one day and was surveying his kingdom. And he began to talk about how, oh, great Babylon that I have built. And God said, really? Okay. Big pimping. Since you the man, let's see how you feel about eating grass for 7 years. And the Bible says God caused him to go and live with animals and eat grass. I don't want you to go through that experience. See, the New Testament tells us this. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and you'll be exalted. So in God's kingdom, in the New Testament, the way up is down. You want to make sure you go down? Start promoting yourself, talking about how great you are. Oh, trust me, people will think you're great. Because that's what people give into. I told somebody the other day, I said, I could have a mega church tomorrow. All I need is about $200,000 and the right PR person. Some well-placed ads with my picture. Folks would be like, he's really anointed. We should go hear him. Telling you how it is. All right. Hopefully I said something to help you appreciate this Thanksgiving. Because this really is about being grateful to God. I'm so grateful to God. I hear people complaining about 2020. 2020 has not been a banner year in that, you know, I don't feel like a whole lot's been accomplished. But if nothing else, nothing else happened in 2020, I found out just how ignorant people can be. I'm serious. You'd be surprised how much that'll help you. Because people are ignorant over some of the dumbest stuff. And they don't inform themselves. And they make decisions without having all the information. See, all this, to me, this is Everett Spencer's opinion. All of this is a sign of a fool. Only a fool makes a decision without having the information they need. Only a fool jumps to conclusions without examining the facts. And so 2020 has shown me that people really are crazy. Now, prepare yourselves because there's going to be another run on toilet paper. So if you want to invest in toilet paper right now. You might be able to sell a roll of toilet paper for $10. I'm telling you, these people are nuts. All right, that's our time. I'm going to give God a hand praise. Father, we certainly thank you for your word. We thank you for the hearers of your word. We pray, Lord, that we would not be just hearers, but that we would be doers also. For we know that your word comes to prove us, it comes to correct us, but mostly it comes to mold us into the image of your dear son Jesus. And for that we are grateful. We're grateful for who you are and what you're doing. And Father, we don't want to spend this Thanksgiving, another Thanksgiving, just saying thank you for stuff. We want to be more aware of who you are in our lives and how you care for us. And so to that end, Lord, we stop right now to say, tell you thank you. In Jesus' name, if you're